B. Gramps.
Sometimes known as Sourdough Dolly.
Let's do your pimple purge of that good old Mountain Dew.
www.vernoniasprings.com/VSMF. To learn more, go to kboo.fm.
And people think, he's so old, he squeaks. And I will prove that.
Look for the Vernonia Springs Music Festival.
And I'd like to convert it into a bedlam of jive. Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Good evening. This is KBOO in Portland. It's 11 o'clock. Time for Fear and Loathing in L.A. Or rather, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas by Hunter S. Thompson.
He who makes a beast of himself gets rid of the pain of being a man.
We were somewhere around Barstow on the edge of the desert when the drugs began to take hold. I remember saying something like,
I feel a bit lightheaded. Maybe you should drive.
And suddenly, there was a terrible roar all around us, and the sky was full of what looked like huge bats,
all swooping and screeching and diving around the car,
which was going about 100 miles an hour,
with the top down to Las Vegas.
Holy Jesus! What are these goddamn animals?
My attorney had taken off his shirt and was pouring beer on his chest to facilitate the tanning process.
What the hell are you yelling about? Never mind, it's your turn to drive. No point in mentioning those bats. The poor bastard will see them soon enough.
Very soon we would both be completely twisted. But there was no going back. We would have to ride it out. Press registration for the fabulous Mint 400 was already underway, and we had to get there by 4 to claim our soundproof suite. Our journey began in the Polo Lounge of the Beverly Hills Hotel, in the patio section, of course, and we were just sitting there under a palm tree when this uniformed dwarf came to me with a pink telephone and said,
This must be the call you've been waiting for all this time, sir.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. That was headquarters. They want me to go to Las Vegas at once and make contact with a Portuguese photographer named Lacerda. He'll have the details.
God, hell, I think I see the pattern. This one sounds like real trouble. You're going to need plenty of legal advice before this thing is over, and my first advice is that you should rent a very fast car with no top and get the hell out of L.A. for at least 48 hours. This blows my weekend because naturally I'll have to go with you, and we'll have to arm ourselves.
Why not? If a thing like this is worth doing at all, it's worth doing right. We'll need some decent equipment and plenty of cash on the line. If only for a permanent record.
What kind of story is this?
The Mint 400. It's the richest off-the-road race for motorcycles and dune buggies in the history of organized sport.
The sporting editors gave me $300 in cash, most of which was spent on extremely dangerous drugs. The trunk of the car looked like a mobile narcotics lab. We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, and a whole galaxy of uppers, downers, screamers, laughers.
A quart of rum. A case of Budweiser. A
pint of raw ether.
And 2 dozen Amels.
Not that we needed all that for the trip, but once you get locked into a serious drug collection, the tendency is to push it as far as you can. The only thing that worried me was the ether. There is nothing in the world more helpless and irresponsible and depraved than a man in the depths of an ether being.
Yes! It's time for a long snort of ether!
And then do the next 100 miles in a horrible, slobbering sort of spastic stupor. The only way to keep alert on ether is to do up a lot of angles. Not all at once, but steadily.
Just enough to maintain focus at 90 through Barstow. Man, this is the way to travel. Turn up the volume.
One toke,
you poor fool. Wait till you see those goddamn bats.
Sympathy for the Devil was the only tape we had. So we played it over and over as a kind of demented counterpoint to the radio.
Hey, there's a hitchhiker. Let's give this boy a lift.
Are you crazy with all the drugs we got in this car? That kid might be a narc.
Before I could mount any argument, he was stopped, and this poor hokey kid was running up to the car with a big grin on his face.
Hot damn! I never rode in a convertible before.
Is that right? Well, I guess you're about ready, huh?
We're your friends. We're not like the others.
Oh, Christ, he's gone around the bend. No more of that talk, or I'll put the leeches on you.
How long could we maintain? How long before one of us starts raving and jabbering at this boy? What will he think then? This same lonely desert was the last known home of the Manson family. Will he make that same grim connection when my attorney starts screaming about bats and huge manta rays coming down on the car? If so...
Well, we'll just have to cut his head off and bury him somewhere. He'll report us at once to some kind of outback Nazi law enforcement agency, and they'll run us down like dogs.
Jesus, did I say that? Or just thinking it? Was I talking?
Did they hear me? Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
That's good, because I want you to know that we're on our way to Las Vegas to find the American dream. I want you to have all the background, because this is a very ominous assignment with overtones of extreme personal danger. Hell, I forgot about the beer. You want one?
Uh-uh.
How about some ether?
What?
Never mind. I want you to understand that this man at the wheel here is my attorney. He's not just some dingbat I found on the strip. Shit, look at him. He doesn't look like you or me, right? That's because he's a foreigner. I think he's probably Samoan. Doesn't matter, does it? Are you prejudiced?
Hell no!
I didn't think so. Because in spite of his race, this man is extremely valuable to me. This is important, goddammit. This is a true story.
Hey, keep your hands off my fucking neck!
Our vibrations were getting nasty, but why? I was puzzled, frustrated. Was there no communication in this car? Had we deteriorated to the level of dumb beasts? Because my story was true. I was certain of that. And it was extremely important, I felt, for the meaning of our journey to be made absolutely clear.
Jesus, just 1 hour ago, we were sitting over there in that stinking baño at the Polo Springs in Beverly Hills, stone broke and paralyzed for the weekend, when a call comes through from some total stranger in New York, telling me to go to Las Vegas and expenses be damned. Then he sent me over to some office where another total stranger gives me $300 raw cash for no reason at all. I tell you, my man, this is the American dream in action. We'd be fools not to ride this strange torpedo all the way out to the end.
Indeed! We must do it!
Getting hold of the drugs has been no problem. But the car and the tape recorder were not easy things to round up at 6:30 on a Friday afternoon in Hollywood. We went to a Polynesian bar, where my attorney made 17 calls before locating a convertible with enough horsepower and proper coloring.
Now we need a sound store with the finest equipment, nothing dinky.
The store was closed by the time we got there.
There were people inside, but they refused to come to the double glass door until we gave it a few belts and made ourselves clear.
Finally, two salesmen brandishing tire irons opened the door just wide enough to shove the equipment out before slamming it and locking it again.
Now take these goddamn things and get the fuck out of here! And don't come back!
Oh, we'll be back! One of these days I'll toss a fucking bomb into this place! I have your name on the sales slip! I'll find out where you live and I'll burn your house down!
That'll give him something to think about. That guy is a paranoid psychotic anyway. They're easy to spot.
We had trouble again at the car rental agency. After signing all the papers I got in the car, I almost lost control of it while backing across the lot to the gas pumps.
You're going to be careful with this car, aren't you?
Of course.
Well, good God, you just backed over that 2-foot concrete abutment and you didn't even slow down. 45 in reverse, and you barely missed the pump.
No harm done. I always test the transmission that way. The rear end, for stress factors.
Say, you fellas been drinking?
Not me.
Just fill the goddamn tank. We're in a hell of a hurry. We're on our way to Las Vegas for a desert race.
What?
Never mind. We're responsible people. He's a lawyer. I'm a journalist.
There's another worry. He's probably all cranked up on speed.
Yeah, you should give him some reds. For Christ's sake, don't smoke that pipe at stoplights. Keep in mind that we're exposed.
You know, we need a big hooker. Keep it down here in the seat, out of sight. If anybody sees us, they'll think we're using oxygen.
Our trip was a classic affirmation of everything right and true and decent in the national character. It was a gross physical tribute to the fantastic possibilities of life in this country, but only for those with true grit. And we were chock full of that.
Stop! What's wrong? We can't stop here.
My heart. Where's that medicine?
Oh, the medicine, yeah. It's right here. Don't worry. This man has a bad heart, angina pectoris, but we have the cure for it. Yes, here they are.
Turn off that fucking music. My heart feels like an alligator. Volume, clarity, bass. We must have bass. What is wrong with us? Are we goddamn old ladies?
You scurvy shyster bastard. Watch your language. You're talking to a doctor of journalism.
What the fuck are we doing out here in the desert? Somebody call the police. We need help.
Hey, thanks for the ride. I gotta go.
Hey, pay no attention to this swine. He can't handle the medicine. Actually, we're both doctors of journalism, and we're on our way to Las Vegas to cover the main story of our generation.
Listen, I really gotta go.
The truth is that we are going to Vegas to croak a skag baron named Savage Henry. I've known him for years, but he ripped us off. You know what that means? Savage Henry has cashed his check. We're gonna rip his lungs out.
And eat them. That bastard won't get away with this. What's going on in this country when a scum sucker like that can get away with sandbagging a doctor of journalism?
Hey, thanks a lot for the ride. I mean it. I like you guys. Don't worry about me.
Wait a minute. Come back and get a beer.
Good riddance, Storm. We had a real freak on our hands.
That boy made me nervous. Did you see his eyes? Jesus, this is good medicine.
Move over. I'll drive. Get out of California before that kid finds a cop.
Shit, that'll be for hours. It's 100 miles from anywhere.
So are we.
Let's turn around.
Place called Mescal Springs. As your attorney, I advise you to stop and take a swim.
It's absolutely imperative that we get to the Mint Hotel before the deadline for press registration. Otherwise, we might have to pay for the suite.
Okay, but let's forget that bullshit about the American dream. The important thing is the great Samoan dream. I think it's about time to chew a blotter. That cheap mescaline wore off a long time ago. I don't know if I can stand the smell of that goddamn ether anymore.
I like it. We should soak a towel with the stuff and then put it down on the floorboard by the accelerator so the fumes will rise up in my face all the way to Las Vegas.
No, forget ether. Let's save it for soaking down the rug in the suite. But here's this. Your half of the sunshine blotter. Just chew it up like baseball gum.
I took the blotter and ate it.
How long do we have?
Maybe 30 minutes. As your attorney, I advise you to drive at top speed.
My attorney was now fumbling with the salt shaker containing the cocaine, opening it, spilling it, then screaming and grabbing at the air as our fine white dust blew up and out across the desert highway.
Oh, Jesus! Did you see what God just did to us?
Kill the body and the head will die. This line appears in my notebook for some reason. Perhaps some connection with Joe Frazier. Is he still alive? Still able to talk? I watched that fight in Seattle. Horribly twisted about four seats down the aisle from the governor. A very painful experience in every way. A proper end to the 60s. Tim Leary, a prisoner of Eldridge Cleaver in Algeria, Bob Dylan clipping coupons in Greenwich Village, both Kennedys murdered by mutants. But that was some other era, burned out and long gone from the brutish realities of this foul year of our Lord, 1971. A lot of things had changed in those years.
Now I was in Las Vegas as the motorsports editor of the slick magazine that had sent me out here in the Great Red Shark for some reason that nobody claimed to understand. Just check it out, they said, and we'll take it from there. Indeed, check it out. But when we finally arrived at the Met Hotel, my attorney was unable to cope artfully with the registration procedure.
May I help you?
Quiet, stay calm, say nothing, speak only when spoken to. Name, rank, and personification, nothing else. Ignore this terrible drug or tin, it's not happening.
Sir, I said, may I help you?
Hi there, my name is, Raoul Duke. Yes, on the list, that's for sure. Free lunch, final wisdom, total coverage, why not? I have my attorney with me, and I realize, of course, that his name is not on the list, but we must have that suite! Yes, this man is actually my driver. We brought this red shark all the way from the strip, and now it's time for the desert, right? Yes. Just check the list and you'll see. Don't worry. What's the score here? What's next?
Your room's not ready yet, but here's an envelope. Somebody's looking for you.
No. Why? You haven't done anything yet.
The woman's face was changing. Swelling, pulsing. Horrible green jowls and fangs jutting out, the face of a moray eel.
Deadly poison!
Sir, are you all right?
I'll take this. This man has a bad heart, but I have plenty of medicine. My name is Dr. Gonzo. Prepare our suite at once. We'll be in the bar.
Two Cuba Libras with beer and mezcal on the side. Who's Lacerda? He's waiting for us on the 12th floor.
Lacerda? The name rings a bell.
But I couldn't concentrate. Terrible things were happening all around us.
Right next to me, a huge reptile was gnawing on a woman's neck.
The carpet was a blood-soaked sponge, impossible to walk on it, no footing at all.
Order some golf shoes, otherwise we'll never get out of this place alive. You notice these lizards don't have any trouble moving around in this muck? It's because they have claws on their feet.
Lizards, if you think we're in trouble now, wait till you see what's happening in the elevators. I just went upstairs to see this man, Lacerda.
We know what you're up to.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just the photographer.
Just remember Savage Henry.
Savage Henry? Listen, man. I'm just the photographer.
Well, I did it. He freaked.
What about our room and the golf shoes? We're right in the middle of a fucking reptile zoo. Somebody's giving booze to these goddamn things. It won't be long before they tear us to shreds.
Jesus, look at the floor! God, have you ever seen so much blood? How many have they killed already? Holy shit! Look at that bunch over there! They spotted us!
Four club sandwiches? Yeah. Four club sandwiches. Four shrimp cocktails. A quart of rum and 9 fresh, very large grapefruits. Vitamin C, we need all we can get.
Okay, yeah.
By this time, the drink was beginning to cut the acid and my hallucinations were down to a tolerable level. The room service waiter had a vaguely reptilian cast to his features, but I was no longer seeing huge pterodactyls lumbering around the corridors in fresh pools of blood.
Look, you've got to stop this talk about snakes and leeches and lizards and stuff. It's making me sick.
Don't worry.
Worry? Jesus! I almost went crazy down there in the bar. They'll never let us back into that place. Not after your scene at the press table.
What scene?
You bastard! I left you alone for 3 minutes! You scared the shit out of some of those people, waving that goddamn Marlin spike around yelling about reptiles. They were ready to call the cops. I said you were only drunk and I was taking you up to the room for a cold shower. Hell, the only reason they gave us those press passes was to get you out of there. Jesus. That scene straightened me right out. I must have some drug. What have you done with the mescaline?
A kit bag. Hey, let's carve up a grapefruit and make a fine rum punch.
Maybe you should only eat one of these. That acid's still working on you.
Yeah, maybe you're right. We have to go out to the track before dark. Where's the car?
I left it somewhere in the parking lot. I have the ticket.
What's the number? I'll call down and have him wash the bastard. Get rid of that dust and grime.
I can't find the stuff.
We're fucked. I'll never convince him to give us the car without proof.
Give me that phone. This is Dr. Gonzo in 850. I seem to have lost my parking stub for that red convertible I left with you, but I want the car washed and ready to go in 3 minutes. Can you send a duplicate stub?
What? Oh, well, that's fine. No problem. That man remembers my face.
Oh, that's good. They'll probably have a big net ready for us when we show up.
As your attorney, I advise you not to worry about me. Turn that shit off. Let's go to the track.
The racers were ready at dawn. Fine sunrise over the desert. Very tense. But the race didn't start until 9, so we had to kill about 3 long hours in the casino next to the pits. By 8:30, there were large crowds around the crap table.
Woo! I'm from Life! Life magazine! Send the man what he needs! This is a magic moment in sports. It may never come again. I once did a triple crown, but it was nothing like this.
Stand up. Oh, come on, stand up, please. You'd be such a handsome man if you just stand up.
Listen, madam, I'm damn near intolerably handsome down where I am. You'd go crazy if I stood up.
But then I remembered, by God, I was here for the Mid 400, and man, that's all I needed to know.
In some circles, the Mid 400 is a far, far better thing than the Super Bowl, the Kentucky Derby, and the Lower Oakland Roller Derby finals all rolled into one. The flag went down, and these 10 poor buggers popped their clutches and zoomed into the first turn all together. Then somebody grabbed the lead as the rider screwed it on and disappeared in a cloud of dust.
Well, that's that. They'll be back around in an hour or so. Let's go back to the bar.
None of us realized it at the time, but this was the last we would see of the fabulous Mint 400. The idea of trying to cover this race in any conventional press sense was absurd. It was like trying to keep track of a swimming meet in an Olympic-sized pool filled with talcum powder instead of water. It was time for an agonizing reappraisal of the whole scene. The race was definitely underway. I had witnessed the start. I was sure of that much. But what now? Rent a helicopter? Saturday midnight. Memories of this are extremely hazy. All I have for guide pegs is a pocket full of Keno cards and cocktail napkins, all covered with scribbled notes. Here's one. Sign on Paradise Boulevard, stopless and topless. Bush League sex compared to L.A. Las Vegas is a society of armed masturbators. Gambling is the kick here. Sex is extra. Weird trip for high rollers, house whores for winners, hand jobs for the bad luck crowd.
As your attorney, I advise you to drive over to the Tropicana and pick up on Guy Lombardo and his loyal Canadians.
Oh, forget it.
Where's the ether? The mescaline isn't working.
Soon we were staggering up the stairs of the Circus Casino, laughing stupidly and behaving like a village drunkard in some Irish novel. Total loss of all basic motor skills. Then you think, what's happening here? What's going on? Then you hear yourself mumble.
Dogs fuck the Pope, no fault of mine.
Watch out, watch out!
Women and children to armored cars.
My name is Brinks. I was born.
Orders from Captain Z.
This is the place. They'll never fuck with us here.
The circus is what the whole hip world would be doing on Saturday night if the Nazis had won the war. This is the sixth right. Hallucinations are bad enough. After a while, you learn to cope with seeing your dead grandmother crawling up your leg with a knife in her teeth. But no, this is not a good town for psychedelic drugs. The reality itself is too twisted. Good mescaline comes on slow. The first hour is all waiting, and then about halfway through the second, you start cursing the creep who burned you because nothing is happening. And then, bang! A very heavy gig in a place like Circus. We were sitting at a small gold formica table revolving around the bartender.
I hate this. This place is getting to me. I think I'm getting a fear.
Nonsense. We came out here to find the American dream, and now that we're right in the vortex, you want to quit. You must realize that we've found the main nerve.
I know that's what gives me the fear.
Look over there. Two women fucking a polar bear.
Please don't tell me those things. Not now. This is my last drink. How much money can you lend me?
Not much. Why?
I have to go.
Go?
Yeah, leave the country tonight.
Oh,
Calm down. You'll be straight in a few hours.
No, this is serious. One more hour in this town, I'm gonna kill somebody.
I can see he was on edge.
Okay, I'll lend you some money. Look, let's go outside and see how much we have left.
Can we make it?
Well, that depends on how many people we fuck with between here and the door. You want to leave quietly?
I want to leave fast.
Okay, let's pay this bill and get up very slowly, both out of our heads. This is going to be a long walk. Waitress!
Yeah?
Do they pay you to screw that bear?
What?
He's just kidding. Come on, Doc. Let's go downstairs and gamble.
This fucking bar won't stop turning! It's never going to stop! I can't get off it!
Will you stay here and go to jail? I'm leaving.
Hey, wait! Wait, come here! Come here! Did you see that? Some son of a bitch kicked me in the back!
Probably the bartender. He wanted to stomp you for what you said to the waitress.
Good God, let's get out of here! Where's the elevator?
Don't go near that elevator. That's just what they want us to do. Trap us in a steel box and take us down to the basement. They'd like an excuse to shoot us.
We walk fast along the shooting galleries, booths, and tattoo parlors, then out through a bank of glass doors and across the grass downhill to a parking lot where the Red Shark waited.
I think maybe you should drive. I think there's something wrong with me.
Where did you get a knife that size?
Room service sent it up. I wanted something to cut the limes.
What limes?
They didn't have any. They don't grow out here in the desert, so I had to settle for grapefruit. Dirty bastard! I knew I should have taken him out when I had a chance. Now he has her.
What are you talking about?
The girl in the elevator, the bastard Lucerne. He has her.
You must be a rider. What class are you in?
Class? What the fuck do you mean?
Oh, you know, what do you ride? We're filming the race for a TV series. Maybe we can use you.
Use me? Yeah, I ride the big ones, the really big fuckers.
The Vincent Black Shadow. We're with the factory team.
Bullshit.
Wait a minute. Pardon me, lady. But I think that there's some kind of an ignorant chicken sucker in this car who needs his face cut open! You cheap honky faggots! Which one of you wants to get cut?
Quick, get into the room. Those bastards will have the pigs on us.
They were spooked like rats in a death cage! That girl understood. Let's get up there and castrate Lacerda now. Did you put him onto her?
Look, you better put that goddamn blade away and get your head straight. I have to go put the car in the lot.
One of the things you learn after years of dealing with drug people is that everything is serious. You can turn your back on a person, but never turn your back on a drug. Especially when it's waving a razor-sharp hunting knife in your eyes.
Take a shower. I'll be back in 20 minutes.
What were we doing out here? What was the meaning of this trip? Did I actually have a big red convertible out there on the street? Was I just roaming around the Mint Hotel escalators in a drug frenzy of some kind? Or had I really come out here to Las Vegas to work on a story? Who were these people? Where did they come from? Still screaming around these desert city crap tables at 4:30 on a Sunday morning, still humping the American dream? That vision of the big winner somehow emerging from the last-minute pre-dawn chaos of a stale Vegas casino. My attorney was in the bathtub when I returned, submerged in green water, along with a new AM-FM radio plugged into the electric razor socket.
Next, we'll have Glenn Campbell screaming, "Where have all the flowers gone?"
No flowers in this town, only carnivorous plants. As I turned the volume down, I noticed a hunk of chewed-up white paper beside the radio. My attorney seemed not to notice the sound change. He was lost in a fog of green steam. Only half his head was visible above the water level.
You ate this entire blotter? Evil son of a bitch! You better hope there's some Thorazine in that bag, because if there's not, you're in bad trouble.
Music! Put that tape on!
What tape?
The new one. It's right there. White Rabbit. I want a rising sound.
You're doomed. I'm leaving here in 2 hours, and they're going to come up here and beat the mortal shit out of you with big saps right here in the tub.
I dig my own grave. Green water and the White Rabbit. Put it on. Don't make me use this.
Jesus.
At that point, I figured he was beyond help, lying there in the tub with a head full of acid and the sharpest knife I've ever seen. totally incapable of reason, demanding the white rabbit.
Okay. But do me one last favor, will you? Can you give me 2 hours? That's all I ask. Just 2 hours to sleep before tomorrow. I suspect it's going to be a very difficult day.
Of course, I'm your attorney. I'll give you all the time you need at my normal rates, $45 an hour. But you'll be wanting a cushion, so why don't you just lay one of those $100 bills down here beside the radio? Fuck off.
How about a check on the Sawtooth National Bank? You won't need any ID to cash it there. They know me.
Whatever's right. Help! You bastard! I need help! I want that fucking radio!
You fool! Get back in that tub! Get away from that radio!
Back up that tape! I missed the peak. I need it again. Literal! Just as high as the fucker can go! And when it comes to that fantastic note where the rabbit bites its own head off, I want you to throw the fucking radio right in the tub with me!
Oh, not me. I'd be happy to ram a goddamn 440-volt cattle prod into that tub with you right now, but not this radio. It would blast you right through the wall, stone dead in 10 seconds. Shit, they'd make me explain it. Drag me down to some rotten coroner's inquest and grill me about... Yes, the exact details. I don't need that.
Bullshit! Just tell them I want it to go higher!
I've gone as far as I can with this waterhead. This time, it's a suicide trip. This time, he wants it. He's ready.
Okay, you're right. This is probably the only solution. Just let me make sure I have it all lined up. You want me to throw this thing into the tub when White Rabbit peaks. Is that it?
Fuck yes, yes. I was beginning to think I was going to have to go out and get one of the goddamn maids to do it.
Don't worry. Are you ready?
I let the song build while I sorted through the pile of fat, ripe grapefruit in the kitchen. The biggest one weighed almost 2 pounds. I got a good Vitablue fastball grip on the fucker, and just as the white rabbit peaked, I lashed it into the tub like a cannonball. I jerked that AC cord out of the machine and moved out of the bathroom very quickly. My attorney ripped the bathroom door open and followed me, waving the blade out in front of him like a man who meant to cut something.
Mace, this is Mace. You want this?
You bastard! You'd do that, would you?
Why not? Hell, just a minute ago, you asked me to kill you. And now you want to kill me. What I should do, goddammit, is call the police.
The cops?
Yeah, there's no choice. I wouldn't dare go to sleep with you wandering around in this condition with a head full of acid and wanting to slice me up with that goddamn knife.
Who said anything about slicing you? I just wanted to carve a little Z on your forehead. Nothing serious.
Get back in that tub. Eat some reds and try to calm down. Smoke some grass, shoot some smack, shit. Do whatever you have to do, but let me get some rest.
Hell yeah, no, you really need some sleep. You have to work tomorrow. Goddamn! What a bummer. Try to rest. Don't let me keep you up.
Strange memories on this nervous night in Las Vegas. The great San Francisco acid wave, 5-6 years ago. It seemed like a lifetime, or at least a main era, a kind of peak that never comes again. San Francisco in the middle 60s was a very special time and place to be a part of. Maybe it meant something, maybe not in the long run. But no explanation, no mix of words can touch that sense of knowing that you were there and alive in that corner of time in the world, whatever it meant. But I was absolutely certain that no matter which way I went, I would come to a place where people were just as high and wild as I was. It was madness in any direction, at any hour. You could strike sparks anywhere. There was a fantastic universal sense that whatever we were doing was right, that we were winning. And that, I think, was the handle. That sense of inevitable victory over the forces of old and evil. Not in any mean or military sense. We didn't need that. Our energy would simply prevail. There was no point in fighting on our side or theirs. We had all the momentum. We were riding the crest of a high and beautiful wave. So now, less than 5 years later, you can go up on a steep hill in Las Vegas and look west, and with the right kind of eyes, you can almost see the high water mark. That place where the wave finally broke and rolled back. The decision to flee came suddenly.
Or maybe not. Maybe I'd planned it all along.
Subconsciously waiting for the right moment, and the bill was a factor.
Because I had no money to pay for it. Incredible. How could this happen?
But by the time I asked this question, there was nobody around to answer. My attorney was gone. He must have sensed trouble. On Monday evening, he ordered a set of fine cowhide luggage from room service, then told me he had reservations on the next plane for L.A., and here I was, all alone in Las Vegas, with this goddamned incredibly expensive car, completely twisted on drugs, no cash, no story for the magazine, and on top of everything else, I had a gigantic hotel bill to deal with. I didn't even know who had won the race. Maybe nobody. It's a weird feeling to sit in a Las Vegas hotel with a fantastic room service bill run up in 48 hours of total madness, knowing that just as soon as dawn comes, you're going to flee without paying a fucking penny.
Mr. Duke! Oh, Mr. Duke! We've been looking for you!
No. I must be hallucinating. There's nobody back there, nobody calling. It's a paranoid delusion, amphetamine psychosis. Just keep walking towards the car, always smiling.
Mr. Duke, wait!
Well, why not? Many fine books have been written in prison. The game is up. They have me.
This telegram just came for you, but actually it isn't for you. It's for somebody named Thompson, but it says care of Raoul Duke. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Raoul Duke, Soundproof Suite 1850, Mint Hotel, Las Vegas. The National Conference of District Attorneys invites you to their 4-day seminar on narcotics and dangerous drugs at Dunes Hotel. Stop. Rolling Stone call. They want 50,000 words. Massive payment. Total expenses, including all samples. Stop. We have reservations at Hotel Flamingo and White Caddy Convertible. Stop. Everything is arranged. Call immediately for details. Urgent. Repeat. Urgent. Stop. Dr. Gonzo.
Holy shit. This can't be true.
You mean it's not for you? Well, I checked the register for this man, Thompson. We don't show him, but I thought he was part of your team.
He is. Don't worry. I'll get it to him.
Well, the manager, Mr. Heem, would like to meet him. Nothing unusual. Mr. Heem likes to meet all our large accounts, put them on a personal basis. Just a chat and a handshake, you understand?
Of course. See you later. I have to get out to the track.
There's no hurry. The race is over.
Not for me.
Let's have lunch!
Righto!
What I needed was a place to get safely off the road, out of sight, and ponder this incredible telegram from my attorney. I was in no mood or condition to spend another week in Las Vegas. Not now. I had pushed my luck about as far as it was going to carry me in this town, all the way out to the edge.
Tuesday, 9 a.m. Now sitting in Wild Bill's Cafe on the outskirts of Las Vegas. I saw it all very clearly. There's only one road to L.A., just a flat-out high-speed burn through Baker and Barstow and Berdou, and then on to the Hollywood freeway straight into frantic oblivion. Safety, obscurity, just another freak in the freak kingdom. How many more nights and weird mornings can this terrible shit go on? How long can the body and the brain tolerate this doomstruck craziness, this grinding of teeth, this pouring of sweat, this pounding of blood in the temples? 60 and 70 hours with no sleep. Somebody followed me here? Does the bartendress know who I am? Can she see me behind these mirrors?
No sympathy for the devil. Keep that in mind. Buy the ticket, take the ride, and if it occasionally gets a little heavier than what you had in mind, well, maybe chalk it off to forced consciousness expansion. Tune in, freak out, get beaten.
Jesus, creeping God. Is there a priest in this tavern? I want to confess. I'm a fucking sinner.
Then I remembered thinking over and over, you are not guilty. The whole goddamn nightmare is the fault of that stinking, irresponsible magazine.
And now look at me, half crazy with fear, driving 120 miles an hour across Death Valley in some car I never even wanted. You evil bastard. This is your work. You better take care of me, Lord, because if you don't, you're gonna have me on your hands.
Could I have that beer can?
Why not?
You realize that it's a crime?
Yeah, I know. I'm guilty. I knew it was a crime, but I did it anyway. I'm a fucking criminal.
That's a strange attitude. You know, I get the feeling you could use a nap. There's a rest area up ahead.
A nap wouldn't help. I've been awake for too long. Look, I've been out in Las Vegas covering the Mint 400.
I could see him thinking I was dangerous. Was he ready for the vicious, time-consuming scene that was bound to come if he took me under arrest? And what kind of monster lawyer would I bring in to work out on him? I knew, but how could he?
Okay, here's how it is. What goes into my book as of noon is that I apprehended you for driving too fast for conditions and advised you to proceed no further than the next rest area, where you plan to take a long nap. Do I make myself clear?
Uh-huh. How far is Baker? I was hoping to stop there for lunch.
That's not my jurisdiction. The city limits are 2.2 miles beyond the rest area. Can you make it that far?
I'll try. I've been wanting to go to Baker for a long time. I've heard a lot about it.
Excellent seafood. With a mind like yours, you'll probably want the land crab. Try the Majestic Diner.
I got back on the freeway and drove past the rest area. As I approached the turn into Baker, I saw...
Hot damn! I never rode in a convertible before.
Holy Jesus, it's the hitchhiker.
That was it. The crisis. I placed an emergency phone call to my attorney in Melville.
I'm trapped in some stinking desert crossroads called Baker. I don't have much time. The fuckers are closing in.
Who? You're sounding a little paranoid.
You bastard. First I got run down on the California Highway Patrol, and then I saw that damned hitchhiker on the road again. They're on to us. I need a lawyer immediately.
What are you doing in Baker? Didn't you get my telegram?
Fuck telegrams. I'm in trouble.
You're supposed to be in Vegas. We have a suite at the Flamingo. I was just about to leave for the airport.
You worthless bastard. I'll cripple your ass for this. All that shit in the car is yours. You understand that? When I finish testifying out here, you'll be disbarred.
You brainless scumbag! I sent you a telegram! You're supposed to be covering the National District Attorney's Conference. I made all the reservations, rented a white Cadillac convertible. The whole thing is arranged. What the hell are you doing out there in the middle of the fucking desert?
Yes, the telegram. Never mind, it's all a big joke. I'm actually sitting beside the pool at the Flamingo. I'm talking from a portable phone. Some dwarf brought it out from the casino. I have total credit. Can you grasp that? Don't come anywhere near this place. Foreigners aren't welcome here.
Yes, I will go back to Vegas. Back to Vegas and sign up for the Drugs and Narcotics Conference. They'd never look for me there. Me and 1,000 pigs.
Why not? Move confidently into their midst. Register at the Flamingo and have the white caddy sent over at once. Do it right. Remember Horatio Alger.
I was going back to Vegas. I had no choice.
Hello. This is VIP Car Rentals in Las Vegas. We're calling to check on number 875-04566B. Just a routine check, nothing urgent.
Holy shit!
What?
Pardon me. Yes, we have that number. It's been placed on emergency red line status. Call the police at once and don't let them out of your sight.
Well, you see, that number is not on our current red list, and number 875-045-616B just left our lot in a new white Cadillac convertible.
No.
Yes, he's long gone, totally insured.
At the hotel, there was still no sign of my attorney, so I decided to check in on my own, if only to get off the street and avoid a public breakdown. My arrival was badly timed. The place was full of cops. Most of them were just standing around trying to look casual, all dressed exactly alike in their cut-rate Vegas casuals. Plaid Bermuda shorts, Arnie Palmer golf shirts, and hairless white legs tapering down to rubberized beach sandals.
Look, fella, I told you I have a postcard here that says I have reservations in this hotel. Hell, I'm with the District Attorney's Conference. I have already paid for my room.
Sorry, sir. You're on the late list. Your reservations were transferred to the Moonlight Motel, which is out on Paradise Boulevard and actually a very fine place of lodging, and only 16 blocks from here, with its own pool.
You dirty little faggot! Call the manager! I'm tired of listening to this dog shit!
Say, I hate to interrupt, but I have a reservation, and I wonder if maybe I could just sort of slide through and get out of your way?
Yes, sir.
This is all I have with me right now. The rest is out there in that white Cadillac convertible. Can you have somebody drive it around to the room?
Don't worry about a thing, sir. Just enjoy your stay here. And if there's anything you need, just call the desk.
My idea was to check into my room, accept the booze and baggage delivery, then smoke my last big chunk of Singapore Grey while watching Walter Cronkite on TV and waiting for my attorney to arrive. Lucy was a girl of indeterminate age with the face and form of a pit bull. She was wearing a shapeless blue smock and her eyes were angry. My attorney was stark naked, standing near the bathroom door with a drug-addled grin on his face.
You degenerate pig.
Can't be helped. This is Lucy, you know, like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds? Lucy? Lucy, be cool, goddammit. Remember what happened at the airport? No more of that, okay? Lucy! This is my client. This is Mr. Duke, famous journalist. He's paying for this, sweet Lucy. He's on our side.
I need peace. The only solution is mace.
No! Not here! We will have to move out!
The last thing I needed was a fight to the finish in my own hotel room with a drug-crazed monster.
Mr. Duke is my friend. He loves artists. Let's show him your paintings. Lucy paints portraits of Barbara Streisand. She's an artist up in Montana. What's that town where you live?
Kalispell. Way up north. I drew these from TV.
Fantastic! She came all the way down here just to give all these portraits to Barbara. We're going over to the Americana Hotel tonight and meet her backstage.
I hadn't counted on this. We obviously had a serious case on our hands. Finding my attorney whacked out on acid and locked into some kind of preternatural courtship.
Well, I guess they brought the car around by now. Let's get the stuff out of the trunk.
Absolutely, let's get the stuff. We'll be right back. Don't answer the phone if it rings.
God bless.
What are your plans?
Plans?
Lucy.
Shit, I met her on the plane and I had all that acid. You know those little blue barrels? Jesus, she's a religious freak. She's running away from home for something like the fifth time in 6 months. It's terrible. I gave her that cap before I realized that, shit, she's never had a drink before.
Listen, she's not right for us, not in this fragile situation. It's bad enough if she is what she appears to be, a strange young girl in the throes of a bad psychotic depression. But what worries me is the likelihood that she is probably just sane enough to work herself into a towering Jesus-based rage in a few hours at the hazy recollection of being picked up and seduced in the Los Angeles International Airport by some kind of cruel Samoan who fed her liquor and LSD, then dragged her off to a Las Vegas hotel room and savagely penetrated every orifice in her body with his throbbing uncircumcised member. She's got to go.
I can't just send her away.
Look, can you see her crashing into Barbara Streisand's dressing room, laying this brutal story on her? They'll track us down and probably castrate us both prior to booking.
Yes, you're right. She's gonna have to go.
The possibility of a Mann Act conviction resulting in disbarment proceedings and total loss of his livelihood was a key factor in his decision.
Hey, it just occurred to me that she has no witnesses. Anything she says about us is completely worthless.
Us?
We finally decided to make her a reservation at the Americana.
Treat her very gently. She's an artist and might seem a trifle high-strung. Good.
Then we drove out to the airport and paid a cabbie $10 to see that our drunk girlfriend got safely to the Americana. When we returned, the red blinking message light was on the telephone.
What's the message? My light is blinking.
Ah, yes. Mr. Duke, yes, you have two messages. One says, welcome to Las Vegas from the National District Attorneys Association.
Wonderful.
And the other says, call Lucy at the Americana, room 1600.
What?
Call Lucy at the Americana, room 1600.
Holy shit!
Excuse me!
I felt like Othello.
You had been in town a few hours, and we'd already laid the groundwork for a classic tragedy. The hero was doomed. He had already sown the seed of his own downfall.
This goddamn mescaline, why the fuck can't they make it a little less pure? Maybe mix it with Rolaids or something.
Lucy called.
What?
I just got the message from the desk clerk. She's at the Americana room 1600, and she wants us to call. Hello?
Mr. Duke?
Yes?
Hello, Mr. Duke. I'm sorry we were cut off a moment ago, but I thought I should call again. Because I was wondering...
What? This fucker is trying to spring something on us. What did that crazy bitch say to him? We're watching the goddamn news. What the fuck are you interrupting me for? What do you want? Where's the goddamn ice I ordered? Where's the booze? There's a war on, man. People are being killed.
Killed?
In Vietnam on the goddamn television.
Oh, yes. Yes, this terrible war. When will it end?
Tell me. What do you want?
Of course. I thought I should tell you, because I know you're here with the police convention, that the woman who left that message for you sounded very disturbed. I thought you should know this.
What did you say to her?
Nothing. Nothing at all, Mr. Duke. I merely took the message. But it wasn't easy talking to that woman. She was, well, extremely nervous. I think she was crying.
Crying? Why was she crying?
Well, she didn't say, Mr. Duke. But since I knew the nature of your work, I thought...
I know. Look, you want to be gentle with that woman. If she ever calls again, she's our case study. We're watching her very carefully. She's perfectly harmless, of course. There'll be no trouble. This woman's been into laudanum. It's a controlled experiment. But I suspect we'll need your cooperation before this thing's over.
Oh, well, certainly. We're always happy to cooperate with the police. Just as long as there won't be any trouble. For us, I mean. So... you'll be responsible then.
Of course. And now I have to get back to the news.
Thank you.
Send the ice.
Good work. They'll treat us like goddamn lepers after that.
Yeah, you forgot about Lucy. She's looking for you.
Oh, no. She's looking for you.
Me?
Yeah. She really flipped over you. The only way I could get rid of her out there in the airport was by saying that you were taking me out to the desert for a showdown. That you wanted me out of the way so you could have her all to yourself. Shit. I had to tell her something. I said she should go to the Americana and wait to see which one of us came back. I guess she figures you won. That phone message wasn't for me, was it?
I had nothing against her personally, but I knew she was perfectly capable under these circumstances of sending us both to prison for at least 20 years on the strength of some heinous story we would probably never hear.
Yes, sir. Those two men over there in the dock are the ones that gave me the LSD and took me to the hotel.
What did you do then, Lucy?
Well, sir, I can't rightly remember.
Indeed. Well, perhaps this document from the district attorney's files will refresh your memory, Lucy. This is the statement you made to Officer Squain shortly after you were found wandering naked in the desert near Lake Mead.
I don't know for sure what they done to me, but I remember it was horrible. One guy picked me up in the Los Angeles airport. He's the one that gave me the pill, and the other one met us at the hotel. He was sweating real bad, and he talked so fast I couldn't understand what he wanted. No, sir, I don't recall exactly what they did to me at that point, because I was still under the influence of that drug. Yes, sir, the LSD that they gave me. And I think I was naked for a long time, maybe the whole time they had me there. I think it was evening, because I remember that they had the news on.
CBS News, that's the way it is.
Yes, sir.
Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite, I remember his face through it.
And I'd like to point out, Your Honor, that our prosecution exhibits A through Y are available to the jury. Yes, this incredible collection of illegal drugs and narcotics which the defendants had in their possession at the time of their arrests and forcible seizure by no less than 9 officers, 6 of whom are still hospitalized.
These experts have testified that the drug cache in the possession of these defendants at the time of the arrests was enough to kill an entire platoon of United States Marines. And gentlemen, I use the word kill with all due respect for the fear and loathing I'm sure it provokes in every one of you when you reflect that these degenerate rapists used this galaxy of narcotics to completely destroy the mind and morals of this once innocent teenager. This ruined and degraded young girl who now sits before you in shame. Yes, they fed this girl enough drugs to scramble her brain so horribly that she can no longer even recall the filthy details of that orgy she was forced to endure. And then they used her, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, they used her for their own unspeakable ends.
Okay, goddammit, okay, look up. Call her. I'll get her off our backs. You're right. She's my problem.
No. It's gone too far.
You'd make a piss-poor attorney. Relax. I'll handle this. Operator? 1600, please. Hi, Lucy. Yeah, it's me. I got your message. What? Hell no. I taught that bastard a lesson he'll never forget. What? No, not dead, but he won't bother anybody for a while. Yeah, I left him out there. I stomped him, then he pulled his teeth out.
Jesus, what a terrible thing to lay on somebody with a head full of acid.
But here's the problem. I have to leave here right away. That bastard cashed a bad check downstairs and gave you as a reference. So they'll be looking for both of you. Yeah, no, I know, but you can't judge a book by its cover. Lucy, some people are just basically rotten. Anyway, the last thing in the world you want to do is call this hotel again. They'll trace the call, they'll put you straight behind bars. No, I'm moving to Tropicana right away. I'll call you from there when I know my room number. Yeah, probably 2 hours. I have to act casual or they'll capture me too. Listen, I have to get off. They probably have the phone tapped. Yeah, I know, it was horrible, but it's all over now. Oh my God! Oh, they're kicking the door down! No! No! Don't put that thing on me! Well, that's that. I think that's the last we'll be hearing from Lucy.
His performance had given me a bad jolt. For a moment, I thought his mind had snapped, that he actually believed he was being attacked by invisible enemies.
As your attorney, I advise you not to worry. Take a hit out of that little brown bottle in my shaving kit. That stuff makes pure mescaline seem like ginger beer.
What is it?
Adrenochrome. You'll go completely crazy if you take too much.
I got the bottle and dipped the head of a paper match into it and licked it.
Where'd you get this?
There's only one source for that stuff. Adrenaline glands of a living human body. It's no good if you get it out of a corpse.
Death. I was sure. Not even my lungs seemed to be functioning. I needed artificial respiration, but I couldn't open my mouth to say so. My attorney had gone back to watching television. Nixon's face filled the screen, and the only word I could make out was sacrifice. Over and over again.
Sacrifice. 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 Sacrifice.
Jesus, that stuff got right on top of you, didn't it? Sacrifice. Just stay relaxed. Don't try to fight it or you'll just wither up and die.
Sacrifice. Sacrifice.
On behalf of the prosecuting attorneys of this country, I welcome you.
We sat in the rear fringe of a crowd of about 1,500 in the main ballroom of the Dunes Hotel. Far up in front of the room, barely visible from the rear, the executive director of the National District Attorneys Association was opening their third national seminar on narcotics and dangerous drugs.
We must come to terms with the drug culture in the country. The reefer butt is called a roach because it resembles a cockroach.
We'd stumbled into a prehistoric gathering.
Who the fuck are these people talking about? You'd have to be crazy on acid to think a joint looked like a goddamn cockroach.
About those flashbacks. The patient never knows or thinks it's all over, and then he gets himself straightened out for 6 months. And then, darn it, the whole trip comes back on him.
Gosh darn that LSD.
The main speaker is one of the heavies on a circuit of second-rate academic hustlers who get paid enormous sums for lecturing at cop crowds. He's the author of a paperback titled Marijuana. It claims to tell it like it is.
Dr. E.R. Bloomquist, M.D., is Associate Clinical Professor of Surgery at the University of Southern California and a well-known authority on the abuse of dangerous drugs. Now, Dr. Bloomquist.
There are four states of being in the cannabis society. Cool, groovy, hip, and square, in that descending order.
Bullshit.
The square is seldom, if ever, cool. He is not with it. That is, he doesn't know what's happening. But if he manages to figure it out, he moves up a notch to hip. And if he can bring himself to approve of what's happening, he becomes groovy. And after that, with much luck and perseverance, he can rise to the rank of cool.
Bloomquist talks like somebody who once bearded Tim Leary in a campus cocktail lounge and paid for all the drinks.
Leary probably told him with a straight face that sunglasses.
KBOO Portland. Again, with another hour of that strange place that we like to go once in a while. And now I'm crawling into the studio here, crawling into that big chair once again so we can be here now. And that place